War Room, Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, live from the Alliance Center in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, it is day two of the Cyber Symposium, Mike Lindell Cyber Symposium. We're going to get to the bottom of the evidence that Mike Lindell has that says it shows direct connection between the Chinese Communist Party, the Dominion, and other machines, and basically the stealing of the 2020 presidential election. We're in the second day of that. Dr. Shiva, well known to our audience, is on stage with Mike Lindell right now, talking about some of the statistics, mathematics, and analysis about how it shows that the election was stolen. The question people are asking right now, even with the presentation today, and you help us, there's lots of information. You're a prosecutor. Is this evidence? I mean, in fact, today, which I think they did correctly, is it had to be a 3 or 4 hour presentation of details, of code, of look like packet captures, all of this. Is that evidence as you see it, or is it information? We'll start with you, Dave Clements, and then I'm going to go to Joe.
Absolutely. What we just saw here was the first 3 hours of what will probably be an investigation over the next 3 weeks, because there's just that much information. We came across forensic images, and these are, absolutely admissible. You have to authenticate your evidence and establish that, but this is reliable evidence. So what I try to do, because we talk about all the information that's out there, is I refer to it as get me the big chief notebook and the crayon. And because we're trying to translate a lot of stuff that, even for me, it's very difficult to follow what we saw. But the evidence that was distilled here today makes a few points. The first one is that we have conclusive proof that Dominion Systems actively erased forensic evidence contained in their logs. That violates federal law. They're supposed to retain that for, I think, what, 22 months?
22 months.
We're not at 22 months out.
How do you know? What was it in the code that we saw? Because we saw pages and pages of data and information. What was it that experts like yourselves could sit there pretty much on the first time, Joe, and say, I can tell you right now they erased that? What was it that what evidence, what data point did you see that showed you that?
Well, just from a basic overview, you just look in the log files and just see if the logs are there or aren't there. See, before the trusted update that they put in there, they called it the...
That was in May.
Trusted,
that was in May. And you're saying everything before May...
Showed the logs.
Showed the logs. But yeah. Part of that was erased.
The logs were erased.
The logs... Yeah. So when they did the update in May, by federal law, they have to keep those for 22 months or how many?
22 months.
So 22 months. And this is from, those are logs from 3 November.
Correct.
In Mesa County, Grand Junction, Colorado.
Correct.
And this is black letter. There's no waiver room. You've got to keep those logs. They have to be accessible to election official authority, yes, or of their lawsuits.
Yeah, so anything associated with the election, anything that would be used or could be used in an audit or used as... by either the public or other government agencies to look into the election, all of that information has to be preserved for 22 months.
For 22 months.
Yes.
And that's missing. Okay, so that's number one. That sounds like it's a very big one, correct?
Oh, yes. I mean, that's the whole point of this symposium, is to arm delegations, state senators, state representatives with, okay, look, this is a Dominion device. We know at least 28 states that use Dominion machines. You also have ESNS. We're not saying that they're not part of this, but what we can tell you is that if it happened in Colorado, and we also have the Antrim data that we're going to go over tomorrow out of Michigan, then it's likely the same case in all of these other 28 states.
Is there any other items besides the erasure of those files that came up today that you guys, because I want to get it all and then I want to talk about process.
Yeah, so I don't think we're deep enough into the information we got from Mesa to understand exactly.
You're saying it's pretty rich. You guys could spend several days going through there.
100%. And what we want to do is basically image it or put it in a place where we can create a virtual machine, where we can duplicate what the system would look like if we were in an election on the 3rd of November.
This is what I think confuses the audience. It certainly confuses me. This information is supposed to be kind of public. Why is it so hard, like today? Yeah. People are saying, well, they hacked into it. A lot of the guys on Twitter, they hacked into it. Like, why is it so difficult? Like, why in Arizona? Why in places where Dominion machines? Look, I keep saying I'm not a machine guy. You guys, there's in federal courts with lawsuits. You're part of it. They're suing the networks. There's lawsuits all over. It aggregates up to $50 billion. they have fairly reputable private equity firms in back of them, right? There's such a big gap between the bid and the ask about what people say in the machines. Why is this information today not available so you could have seen weeks ago or in May that that stuff was deleted? Why is there not access to this information? And every time you try to get access, you got to get subpoenas, you go to court, it takes process, it takes money. I just don't understand why that's happening.
Well, what we've seen over the past 2 days is we have suspects, right? When you look at George Soros and his network, how he has gamed our country to ensure that certain gatekeepers, whether they're county attorneys, district attorneys, attorney general races, sheriffs, all the people that you would normally inquire about, hey, we have something suspicious here. We have people with first-hand knowledge that are showing that election law was not followed. And then you have the bombshell that we just examined today for several hours about the erasure of forensic evidence that was brought about by Dominion and its employees. So when you have that, normally you would go to the sheriff and you would think, all right, let's do an investigation or let's convene a grand jury. In these specific counties, instead of law enforcement working for us, they have been weaponized against us. So I think there's grander themes, but I myself put myself out there saying that, look, the election was stolen from President Trump, and if you're willing to carry out an election coup, it makes perfect sense on what you're going to do to conceal evidence. And what we're seeing here is an orchestrated attempt by this election cabal, this election cartel, that's doing everything they can to keep us from having access to stuff that you would think, as a matter of public record, under black letter law, we're entitled to.
Now, they argue, and I want to get the other answer, they argue, and you brought it up on the stage today, intellectual property. The letter they just sent back to the state senate in Arizona, which now is in a real fight, and Maricopa County's dug in. When Maricopa County sends back the snarky letter, Dominion sends a very cool letter, but its very lead is one line long. It's our intellectual property. You signed a contract. We own it. We're not going to give it to you, right?
Yeah.
And all this. One of the things they're arguing here, does that hold up? First off, no doubt a county official maybe signed that, but does that hold up, you think, in the grander scheme of things, to hold back his intellectual property where people don't want to get to the bottom of this?
I'll give you an analogy. You know, a lot of attorneys have clients. We have attorney-client privilege, and that prohibits us from sharing certain things. But there are exceptions. Fraud, or if someone's life is in jeopardy, are typically the ones where, I could keep secrets, but I can't perpetrate a fraud on the court, usually. That same analogy applies here. Yeah, you can have intellectual property, but if you're using it as an illusion, as some specious argument to keep us from seeing a fraudulent takeover of our election, that's pretty flimsy. And so we need to let people know that they have weaponized the rule of law,
yep,
to conceal fraud.
Before we go to break, Joe, what else besides the erasure of in May of the files, which clearly is black letter, what else did you see here today? Understand you haven't had a lot of time to go through this. You saw here to disturb you. You think it's evidentiary?
Yeah, I think that we're dealing with a 500,000-pound gorilla. First of all, the information that we got out of Mesa is just a duplication of what's been already brought out of Antrim County. But what has happened is we've seen a weaponization, we've seen a collusion like we've never seen before. And we talk about the deep state, we use these big words as, that they're all in it together, they're all colluding. But we're seeing a breakdown of our judicial system in a way that we've never seen before, that they're compromised in ways that they're actually working with these election companies. This isn't new information we're getting out of Mesa. It just reaffirms that this is happening all over the country. And we have to look at standard deviation when it comes to the how code is enacted and used in our election system, how the law is being deviated from, and then how we see behavioral deviation. We have plenty of evidence. The evidence we have is massive, not just what we're seeing here today. Right? This is just stacking on that last straw on the camel's back that breaks its back. We're dealing with a massive amount of fraud against the American people that you can see, you can feel. It has to do with the thousands of affidavits that have already been signed out there by Americans that have said, hey, listen, this is what they did in my county. This is what they did in my precinct. And I think those deviations, we have to look at those very simply and just get away from complicating this and acting as if we have really smart people that are building the system, because they're not.
If I could add this.
Yeah, sure.
This bombshell that we saw today vindicates so many American voters.
Why?
Because they were maligned by the media. They were decried as people that didn't have credibility. weren't credible. And then here you go. This shows just how credible they were. What they saw and heard is being shown in a different, through a different mechanism, and that's through this Dominion forensic images. And it's startling what we're finding out.
Well, you have to add the mathematics to it, too. You have Dr. Shiva.
That's what Dr. Shiva's, yeah, the mathematical right. analysis. But it now is getting down to, that's the theoretical, right? Obviously, some of that can be used as evidence. And I know a lot of hedge fund guys have said, hey, it's mathematically impossible for Biden to win. But then you got to get to, and we'll get to that next. Okay, short commercial break. We're going to throw it back to the floor when we return. A lot going on, but we're going to keep Joe Altman, former CEO of Penn Business, deeply involved in the whole thing of machines, and, of course, the one and only Professor David Clements, who with Captain Seth Kessler leading this 3 November movement to full forensic audits in every state. Short break. Back in the war room in a moment.
War Room. Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, we're live at the Alliance of Military Heritage here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. That's the South Dakota Alliance of Military Heritage. All the VFW groups, the National Guard, military history groups are just amazing. I've had the honor of going throughout the world in my career and doing broadcasts or being with the president where he's doing presentations. I got to tell you, this is one of the best venues I've ever been to. Small, compact, but actually kind of spread out, so you got a lot of room. It's a real honor to the folks in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We've had a tremendous time here, great support. I can't speak highly enough of the town, the people in this venue. Okay, we're going to go now to Real America's Voice. On the floor of the symposium, this is where the state legislatures are down there reviewing this evidence daily, sitting in for these presentations, these workshops. On the stage is one of Dr. Shiva with Mike Lindell. Dr. Shiva's been on the show so many times, walking through a mathematical analysis. But David Zier, you've got a guest. We're going to throw it to you in each segment to tell us what you've got going on with the folks there. David Zier, I'm Real America's Voice.
Thank you so much, Steve. So we're on the floor here, and we have Holly Kaysen with us from the U.S. Election Integrity Plan out of Colorado. And they got a whole team of people here, about a dozen, right, Holly?
That's right. We're basically the ground game in Colorado when it comes to election integrity. We're a 100% volunteer organization. We don't take any money. And we've been rolling up our sleeves ever since November 3rd, trying to figure out what's happened in Colorado.
Before we get into that, is it true that illegal aliens get licenses once they register with DMV and are registered to vote?
It is true. So Colorado is an opt-out state, which means illegal aliens can get driver's licenses and they can be registered to vote, and it's up to them. It's incumbent upon them to opt out of voting.
It's really crazy. Similar in New York in a way. I got to say, so what did you take away from this? Was the news that came out of Mesa County, was that enough for you to convince you that there was evidence of fraud going on, how does that affect your effort?
We've been doing deep dives on all of the data with publicly available numbers. We've been working with Dr. Frank, Jovan Pulitzer, all the big names here, and we know that there is fraud in Colorado. And we have been going door to door doing voter verification in key precincts across Colorado, so we know there's fraud. The data today just showed us that in Mesa County, election records were deleted, and they're supposed to be preserved for 22 months.
And that's a felony to not preserve those records in their natural state, right? So what do you want to see by Thursday? You think there's going to be more hard-hitting stuff coming out? What do you want?
Yes, I think the symposium still has some data to show us, and I think we need a deeper dive into that data. And I think by the end, we will have some pretty irrefutable proof that there was election fraud through the machines.
Yeah, Steve, it looks like Colorado's become the hotbed of activity for this forum. So Holly Kaysen, I want to thank you from the U.S. Election Integrity Plan out of Colorado. Thank you so much for joining us. Back to you, Steve.
Thanks, David. Another great interview. We're going to be going to David probably in every segment to talk to delegates. I heard that right there is the grit and determination, common sense of the American people. You're not going to, when Holly's in your business, they're going to be relentless, not going to back off. And I got to tell you, what's so stunning, people have been talking about it for months, but I do believe that that Colorado, which I know so many folks are there, said, hey, this is a red state. Outside of Boulder and certain segments of Denver and maybe a couple of three suburbs, this is a very red state. And now, I got to tell you, I saw evidence today, or at least some very damning information that people are going to take forward. But it's that group right there, what Holly represents throughout this country. They're going to get to the bottom of it, and you're not going to back them off, okay? They're going to be relentless, and they're indefatigable, right? That's the key. They're indefatigable. They are not going to back off. And if our audience out there, like I said the other day, this is not an end point, this symposium. This is what I call the end of the beginning, right? It's taken us about 9 months to get here. This is going to be a long, tough fight. But I like our odds, and the reason I like our odds, I like the people on our side of the football, right? They're determined, they're focused, they're not playing games. This thing right here, yesterday's 14, 16 hours, another 14, 16 hours a day. And she said right there, hey, big believer in Mike Lindell, big believer in the men, but hey, I got to see the evidence, got to see the facts. We're going to grind through here. We got another day to go. Then we go from there. Got Joe Altman, who's deeply involved in this whole machines controversy, and of course the professor Dave Clements, prosecutor from New Mexico, just been outstanding. Joe, you made a comment before a break. There's massive amounts of evidence now, and you were tying together Antrim County, what Matt DiPerno's been finding there, yeah. what just exposed in Colorado, implications too of what's happened in Maricopa County, because you know Dominion's all over that about fighting that, and particularly claiming intellectual property. Walk us through. Take a couple of minutes. When you say massive amounts of evidence, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think you have to look at the data in different segments, right? So there's the behavioral data, the deviations of behavioral data, which is really important that just to break it down to a level that I think everyone can understand. And that is what happened on election night. Those were the bad actors, the Ruby Freemans of Georgia's sending people home, having the collusion of the media say, oh, they're going to start counting again tomorrow.
Having the plumbing problem in Atlanta.
But it wasn't a plumbing problem. It was a leaky toilet that they said was a broken pipe.
I tried to be polite, but you're right.
But you saw,
pretty absurd.
You saw behavioral deviations. Yeah. And behavioral deviations is enough that it's a breach of public trust. And when you have that breach of public trust in those areas, you should have audits, period. It should be any time that you breach that trust for any reason. So you have that data that is massive amount. What I think was like 4,000 or 5,000 or 6,000 or 10,000 affidavits that were signed. Then you have to look at the code data. You have to look at areas like Antrim County where we know that it was an area that predominantly voted for Republican that voted for Biden.
Yes.
It was
yes.
a complete flip. And then they're
you don't buy it's just a clerical error and they could reverse it easily?
No, because if that's the case, then why when they did an image of the system did they already the day before they come in delete again the files and the logs?
Yep.
Right? And it shows that it was done remotely. So you have remote access. We know that the CEO of Dominion specifically came in and said that they're not connected to the internet, but yet you had remote access into the system and those logs were actually deleted prior to the ability to do those.
Was there information today? I know that the CEO's his testimony before Congress and other bodies is becoming up for. Were there things of today in what you saw out of Mesa County put his testimony in question?
100% it puts it in question.
What's that? What would that be?
You know, he came out and said that their systems, their election devices do not have the ability to be connected to the internet. Well, we know not just by what's happened out of Antrim, what we're seeing in Mesa.
And he's been pretty adamant about that, and he's been asked the question a number of different ways, so it can't be a mistake sometimes. They're trying to get you in a perjury. This was not trying to get a guy in a perjury trap. This was basically asking information questions on a number of times. He's always had the same answer.
Always had the same answer.
By the way, we've reached out to Dominion. We want Dominion to come on, and like I said, there's such a big gap between the bid and the ask here. There's no middle ground. We've had asked Dominion many times to come over here and, you know, make your cases. We've had guys like you come on and make the case. So you're saying massive amounts of evidence. And what you saw in Mesa today, you think is so explosive, it's only going to drive now more drill down in Colorado overall.
Yeah, I think it's a further indication that the systems by Dominion, and not just by Dominion, but in other states, some of the same things we're seeing at Dominion we're seeing with other election machines manufacturers as well, is that it's just a continuation of the fact that if you look behind you and you have a tail and everybody tells you got a tail, you probably got a tail. Right?
Okay, David Clemens, the reason I think people really, you and Kesher are such a good combo. He's so analytical and you're so powerful but low-key. Your hair is never on fire. What about the fact that people are saying, hey, you don't, Lindell doesn't have the data or doesn't really have the backup to show the Chinese Communist Party did it. This was fortuitous. this is big, but this is doesn't show you the entire system's a problem. You may have a problem in certain elements of Colorado, maybe even got some problems in a couple of counties in Michigan, and maybe even Maricopa's got some issues. But it's not it doesn't support the overall theory of the case that this was massive, and the machines were used by a bad actor to really do. How do you answer that question?
Well, I think, you know, the way that I talk about it is, you know, you build your case brick by brick. So we're talking about the math brick, we're talking about the affidavit brick, we're talking about what we just found in Mesa, Colorado. These are all bricks, and you build that wall. Now, let's not sell ourselves short with respect to China. There are other ways to prove that, and we've got weeks to unravel what we're going to find out with these forensic images. But don't forget about the paper trail. When you talk about UBS, when we talk about the financial ties,
the private equity guys, etc.
The financial ties, we've followed the money, and it goes back to communist China. So we have to ask ourselves these questions: who benefits? And so we've got that paper trail, and we also have the relationships with domestic, you know, we can call them domestic terrorists, in the sense that they have gained.
I think we're referred to as the domestic terrorists, aren't we?
Well, we are.
The people that are questioning 3 November.
The election cartel. So when we look at Hunter Biden, when we look at Joe Biden, we look at the stuff that was
people
going
are
on,
obviously compromised by
compromised.
The CCP.
It's without question. You got Eric Swalwell sleeping with Fang Fang. I mean, just use your common sense. You've got the ties there. It's just a matter of fleshing
Occam's razor.
Yes, sir.
As a prosecutor, we're going to take a break here in a second. I want to come back. You've been a prosecutor. You say you've got these different elements to build a case. I want to be very specific about Mesa, Colorado. If you were the prosecutor for that county or for Grand Junction, would you impanel a grand jury right away and say, I need a formal venue to a jury? I got to get to the bottom of this. And I just don't want to do some informal investigation. I want to get a body there that I can get some evidence to really get rolling on this. Have you seen enough right now that you would do that, or would you wait?
We're at conviction, Steve. I mean, is there probable cause? Absolutely.
Wow.
And that's what you're looking for.
Hold on, hang
on.
You're saying it's so far beyond just getting a grand jury. If you saw that evidence, you would be moving very, very, very quickly.
Well, look no further than what CNN's doing to keep us from getting our case to the American people. The reason why they're doing that is the evidence is beyond a reasonable doubt. But when you're talking about grand juries, it's a much lower standard. It's probable cause. Do you think that a crime was committed? Yes, I do. Absolutely.
And there's no doubt about the erasure of these files in this May time frame that would lead you to be, you've got probable cause to move on the whole thing.
What do you think?
No, it's a matter of the amount of evidence in different areas.
Okay. We're going to take a break. Right. We'll come back. Joe Altman, Dave Clements, we're here at the Alliance Center. Sioux Falls, be back in the War Room in just a moment. Okay, we're live at the Cyber Symposium in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I'm going to go now to Real America's Voice, the intrepid reporter David Zier. He's on the floor of the symposium. David, got another terrific guest. Take it away, sir.
Yeah, there's a lot of Colorado representatives here, and we have a state representative from Colorado's 60th House District. We want to welcome Ron Hanks. How are you?
Doing well, Dave. Thanks for the moment here today.
Yeah, so thank you for serving, by the way. We got to thank our veterans. Let's see. We spoke yesterday morning, right, when we first met, and you were a little skeptical and wanted to see hard data and hard evidence. Watch the algorithms, the mock booths that we have here. And but today you had a little bit of a sea change in your thought. What changed your mind?
Well, there's a lot of expertise here, Dave. These people, it's good to get them all together and have a chance to ask questions. And they've shared a lot of knowledge. I have a little bit of background in cybersecurity. It's a little aged now, but I mean, I can understand and I trust a good number of these sources here. I think we're seeing a threshold of a breakthrough on the cyber side. I think we already saw the ballot side of it in Arizona.
What I'm taking away from today is that there's a lot of momentum for a big movement in Colorado to go forward between the U.S. Election Integrity Plan, the information that came out of Mesa County, and then you representing the state representatives. Who are you going to take this back to, and what are you going to do?
Well, I think we have a lot of We got to conference a little bit more about what the action items are, but we have got to stick this squarely on the chest of our Secretary of State. I think she has way overstepped her bounds, and we need to push back on this as representatives and as citizens.
Okay, so these secretaries of state and these governors are operating with impunity. They've been indemnified somehow. They think the courts are on their side, maybe. So how do you fight that? The governor of Wisconsin said he's not going to comply with subpoenas for, you know, an audit in Wisconsin. Can you guys, it's the people that got to stand up, right?
It is. I think also county commissioners need to start standing up and saying we aren't going to use electronic systems anymore. They're vulnerable to infiltration. The people that are operating them are either incompetent or in collusion with the fraud and the intrusion, the ability to intrude. So we need county commissioners now to lean in and say we're done.
Well, it's powerful stuff, everybody. Ron Hanks, Colorado 60th House District veteran. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll keep up the fight, right? You're very welcome. Back upstairs to you guys.
David, another great interview. I said, here's the thing, and I'm with Joe Altman and Dave Clements. Here's the buried lead of what you just said. The mainstream media, particularly Washington Post, saying a bunch of wild-eyed people here, a bunch of true believers, are all, you know, part of the cult of Mike Lindell. That's the farthest thing from the truth. What is so powerful, there are people here that, don't get me wrong, love Mike Lindell and support Mike Lindell, but these are legislators from all over the country. Everybody's come here with discernment and kind of a high level of saying, hey, I know there's some things going on, but I want to see evidence. I want to get more information. I want to talk to these cyber guys. And you do see momentum building that, hey, something's not right here. Now, the mainstream media says, Lindell's got nothing. This thing's been a big flop. I think there's anything. I got bad news for Rachel Maddow and Chris Hayes. It's anything but. The floor here is, I think, more determined than ever to get to the bottom of this. And that's why I think you're seeing states like Colorado. It's not just the huge contingent from Arizona. The Georgia guys showed up today. You got people here from Pennsylvania. But you're seeing states, particularly New Mexico. I had a great briefing today from people in New Mexico. The numbers I saw were just unbelievable. And they're very focused. In Colorado, people in Montana. Montana's got a huge delegation. Trump won Montana. He's won Montana. But they're saying, hey, there's something not quite right in these things. We're going to get to the bottom of it. One thing I can tell you is that there's more determination, and these people have a high level of a high bar. They're all from Missouri in this regard, and real discernment. But they understand there's something not right. And the end of that, 100% of people say, we got to get this nonsense with the machines and backups. We got to get back to paper ballots or a system that there you can't be hacked. The power of what Natalie Winters and Raheem Ghassam did the last couple of days laid the predicate of what the Democrats, you know, they got these audios where people saying, hey, we got to get the progressive Democrats, we got to get the paper ballots. These machines are so hackable, right? And they came out of the Russia, you know, quote unquote, the Russia collusion. They totally looked at that as a predicate for, I think, what was accomplished. So I want to go back to you. You were actually not supposed to be here today. You're kind of a you think they had a special guest from the clerk in Mesa. You had actually an appointment, Joe, and you're very involved. And I just want to reiterate again: we have asked the Dominion guys to come on time and time again. There's an open invitation to come on the War Room, as you know, and some of the audience says, Steve, you ask too many tough questions of your guests sometimes, but. You're not supposed to be here today, Joe. You're supposed to be giving a deposition in Colorado, correct?
Yeah, I'm supposed to be giving a deposition in an anti-SLAPP state motion.
Yeah.
For the Eric Coomer lawsuit. So I'm supposed
now Coomer sued you for defamation.
He did.
And this is because you said some things, I think, in interviews and other places about calls he was on or people had gotten you on conference calls. You want to explain some of the details there?
Yeah, so it started back in September. I was looking for Antifa journalists. I set out to, and I wasn't wanting to get involved, but I saw them take the Constitution, ball it up, and throw it in the trash. And frankly, I wanted to stand up for the most vulnerable among us in our community. So I built an organization, and they started writing bad things about me on the far left. And somebody came to me and said, hey, listen, you need to know these guys are Antifa journalists. Are they Antifa? They're not journalists. They're activists. And so I didn't pay attention to him. And then he came back and said, I can get you on a call where I can prove to you that these guys are, that they're Antifa. And so that's...
The Antifa guy told you this. He could get you on a call and you could listen to these guys.
Yes.
And that they were working in collusion with Antifa.
Yeah, that they were actually Antifa.
You've never met Eric Cromer in your life.
Never.
You have nothing against him. You had no bone to pick. You couldn't pick him out of a police lineup if he was in front of you, right?
No, I write very good notes. I write notes for everything. And so I wrote down the notes. I did some research on him. I discovered that he worked for Dominion Voting Systems. And even when I did all of that before the election, I still didn't have a comprehension that he could do what he said he could do. Right? Because I thought that, hey, no guy that's a doctorate is going to at any point be a part of Antifa. And so I just put it aside, got the information that I wanted as far as figuring out who was working with Antifa as journalists, and I moved on. And even before the November 3rd election, it was the middle of October, I came out and said, look, I know who these Antifa journalists are, and I'm coming for you. If you want to write bad stuff about us, we're going to make sure that we hold you accountable. And that was prior to the election. And it was 3 days after the election. Nobody was talking about Dominion. Somebody sent me an article that had his name in it. And my heart sank. And
that's when you put two and two together?
Yeah, and then I started scouring his social media accounts, getting access to those different environments, seeing that he was posting anti-American, anti-Trump.
Okay, but here's what I understand. He sued you for defamation because of things you wrote or things you said about him. There's supposed to be a deposition today. You've set up on the stage. I never tell lies or anything like that. Why would you skip it? I think people are asking, why would you skip the if it's a lawsuit and you think you've got the truth and the law on your side, why would you not show up for a deposition?
Well, first of all, the judge in the case was just assigned to the case, was appointed by Governor Polis, who gave $1.4 million to these far left groups.
The judge did.
Yeah.
And you've got that on record.
I have all of it.
That she gave on a
no,
judge.
No, not her.
Her.
Polis.
Yes, exactly. Yes. He's quite progressive.
Right. And so you look at those facts. She actually marched in the Antifa protest in June of 2020. We're talking about a guy that I basically said is Antifa,
Do you believe because she marched in a protest that does not render her ability to be fair in a trial?
Well, the case law was already set in the case. She came in on May 20th. On May 24th, she did what's called a sua sponte, which is basically volunteering information to the plaintiff and saying, hey, look, the previous judge who had been on the bench for 20 years ruled that you can't get access to discovery. Either you have a case or you don't. She came in and within the first status hearing said, hey, if you guys want me to relook at what the judge did before, I'll relook at it to see if you get access to discovery. Volunteered it.
I can explain the legalities of why this is so important.
Does that sound a little bizarre to you?
It's absolutely bizarre. So what we're dealing with is we believe that this was a frivolous lawsuit filed against Joe.
And to shut him up.
What we call those are slap suits.
Yes.
Strategic litigation against public participation. Yes. Well, Joe has...
Are there anti-slap provisions in Colorado?
Okay. And in that anti-slap
provision... People should know that their law that stopped the fact of trying to force somebody into bankers and pay big legal fees on these types of suits.
So that's exactly what he's entitled to under the law, is right. I shouldn't be subjected and buried with frivolous discovery requests. This new judge who is at the Antifa rallies shows up and says, I'm not going to follow the law.
Well, but did your lawyers, can't you appeal that, or is that not appealable?
We did a Rule 21, which makes it even worse, because the Rule 21 was filed by three of the defendants. Obviously, I'm being sued with President Trump's campaign, with Mayor Giuliani, with Sidney Powell. And so three of them filed a Rule 21, it's called a Rule 21, that was sent to the Colorado Supreme Court, right, for relief. Then two were done on Friday, one was done on Monday. One was done on Friday, one was done on Saturday, one was done on Monday. The third one wasn't done until 1 o'clock on Monday. By 3 o'clock on Monday, they had what's called en banc denial, right? Only one problem. The Colorado Supreme Court was not in session on Monday and wasn't hearing cases, right? And within 15 minutes of that coming out...
Are you telling me the fix is
in on this? No, it's totally in.
The fix. Wow.
And so she overturned the discovery request on one side, and then in the middle of that, she says you have to give up the Antifa guy that gave you access to that phone call.
And that's unheard of. I've dealt with confidential informants, and what they're doing, I've just never seen anything like it.
Why would an Antifa judge, or you say a judge that's pro-Antifa, marching the parade, is one of these Antifa supporters, why would a judge want you to turn over the Antifa guy that got you on the phone call?
Because they'd want to kill him. I mean, and the guy that is Eric Coomer posted the Antifa manifesto on his Facebook page in June of 2020, right? I wasn't looking for this information.
Do you think some people that are pro-Antifa are so upset that an Antifa guy, they actually buy your story that an Antifa guy got you onto the call, but they want to find out who the rat is.
100%. I know that that's a fact, because I know...
Did your lawyers sign off when you're coming here and talking about this?
No, my lawyer said they already know they can't shut me up. I'm that guy that believes that courage is more infectious than fear. I spend my entire time living my life one way, right? I am a 100% follower of Jesus. I live my life that way. Anyone that knows me knows that I'm not going to try and hurt someone.
So essentially, if you went, let's say you went and you didn't do it, they would put you in jail to defend an Antifa informant and such.
Right.
You would actually jeopardize yourself and go to jail,
yes,
right, as a pro-Trump guy looking at elections, which might have a tough time in jail, right, depending on where they put you in that part of the population. You're telling me you would do that to defend an Antifa guy who eventually the Antifa people look at as an informant or a rat. That's what you would do?
100%.
Why would you do that?
Because
why do you care there's one less Antifa bad guy in the world?
But he's not an Antifa bad guy. He left Antifa behind. And why would I? What would they do to him? They're going to kill him. If he does, they don't kill him, he'll never get a job again. And he runs the risk of killing himself, and he has kids. I just believe that I made a promise when he first got me onto that call that I would not divulge who he
and
was.
And you will stick to that no matter what happens?
100%.
You're going to stick to that no matter what happens?
100%.
How unusual is that to have a judge in something like this, and particularly given the sensitivity and the intensity of the beliefs on both sides, to risk a guy's name being put forward?
The appearance of impropriety is amazing. The judge should have the wherewithal to excuse herself from the case, given her ties to Antifa, and given Eric Coomer's ties to Antifa. At a bare minimum, the attorney should have moved for a recusal. They probably tried to do that, but the fact that she's still on the case doing inconsistent rulings, I've never seen anything like
that. Short commercial break. A lot going on in Colorado. We're going to come here back to Sioux Falls, where it's all coming out as evidence, next in the War Room.
Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room. Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
We're at the Alliance Center in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. It is, Wednesday, the 11th of August. We're here for the second day, probably two-thirds of the way through the symposium. This thing's going to go late like it did last night. Explosive information came out last night at 7 o'clock. They were still here at 9, 10 o'clock. People were just all over this, what's happening in Colorado. Colorado's exploding. I think Colorado could be the next Arizona. Wait for it, because it's some tense things going on here. We're going to come back with a couple of guests. I want to throw it to the floor. David Zier, our Real America's Voice correspondent, doing great on the scene interviews with this convention floor, this conference floor here at the Alliance Center in Sioux Falls. David, take it away with your next guest.
All right, excellent. So we're blessed to have with us Real America's Voice News show host of Firewall, Lance Wallnau, and he's the author of God's Chaos Code and many other books. Welcome, Lance.
It's always good to be seeing you. We always seem to be in these lively events. This is historic.
I saw you at CPAC 2021. We talked, and Vince Carileo, Pastor Carileo from Long Island, says hello. We have some common connections.
Yeah, that's, I love that guy.
Yeah, it's really awesome. You know, we were talking about this event, maybe to get away from the data for a second. You know, this is kind of like Stephen King's The Stand, you know, where the good people and the bad people are kind of lining up and choosing sides. It's really crazy, right? And are we in a godless, spiritualist society?
Well, you know, this is so strange that Stephen King would pick a story like that. The zombie apocalypse theme. I keep thinking that art, in a strange way, is a very prophetic, kind of a sphere of influence. It picks up on something. We really do have good guys and bad guys becoming conspicuous. Jesus called it, in the last days, tares were going to mature and wheat would mature.
I think it's been evident as of recent. You know, I was in Moscow in 86, and I saw the food shortages and the military in the street and the curfews, kind of like Washington, D.C.,
It is. And then you think about the whole thing about the fences and the razor wire. All of it, kabuki theater. None of it justified. None of the information justifies that the Capitol is under attack. but it serves the whole theatrics of the artificial world that they're creating and that they live in.
There's no doubt Zuckerberg's trying to create this metaverse now to take the place of religion and be in every element of your life on the tech side. Speaking of tech, what have you taken away from the data you've seen here?
Well, it's very, one thing that they're doing, which I was really concerned about, they're breaking down for the layman how the election was hacked, so that the person who can't get into a kind of a complex argument can say, I saw this, and explain it and put it in language so a legislator can go back and say, we must check these six factors, because there's a way that you can actually do an analysis like an X-ray on the violation of your own votes.
Yeah, I think if anything, this event has like kind of threaded the needle for people, because you see individual stories and people don't know how to argue about it and everything. So if anything, the American public is seeing kind of the common thread now and maybe some proof.
Well, the panel that was up here this afternoon, first of all, what you don't see here are people that are paid to be here. Like, you know, on the left side or even on the right, you'll see people that are professional pundits. It's like they're on the payroll to give you the talking points. These are individuals who came into this battle as American citizens, who got into the jaws of legal pushback and backlash, and who are fighting for their lives and their careers in order to say the truth.
Yeah, I think that's pretty incredible what's going on. So tell us where people can watch your show on Real America's Voice.
Yeah, you want to see it Saturday. It's right after Bannon's War Room. We do the once a week. It's the populist Great Awakening movement. I believe that evangelical Christians and pro-life Catholics are about to find the awakening happening to them.
Lance Wallnau, thank you so much for your time, okay?
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, David. By the way, that show on Saturday is must-watch TV. And I couldn't agree more. This is where the mainstream media is getting it wrong. Twitter's getting it wrong. Is that if you see, there's more determination right now coming off this guy's than I've seen. People are saying, hey, there's so much information here. There's something not right. I'm empowered to go back to these state legislatures. So do not believe the mainstream media in this regard. Certainly don't believe Twitter. Lindell's got nothing. There's no evidence, nothing. Hey, there's some smart people down here. They're paying for their way. Everybody here is a volunteer. I mean, Clements had another life. He's a professor. Had a nice, quiet life. You had a great life as a businessman. All these people were living their best lives when this happened. And all of them feel called to this because they understand they have an obligation, not just to, hey, comes after us, our children and grandchildren, but who came before us. That this republic, this constitutional republic was bequeathed to us, right? And you're going to have to fight for it. And something's not right with November 3rd. And that's where all the Republican talking points, oh, let's just look to the future and let's go raise money and get new laws in all these other states. No. We got all the laws you need. You got to get to the bottom of November 3rd. And I've said from day one, and I'm not picking on Dominion here, I just don't understand why we have these machines, right? I'm a big believer. I know President Trump is. Let's get back to paper ballots. We'll figure out in some big civics lesson how we get counted. We got plenty of time. We don't need to know the results 2 minutes after an election has been handled. What we need to do is get fair, free elections that we know what the count is, and there's no question about it. One thing I want to say before I turn to my guests, Dave Clements and Joe Altman, the stand is about a virus that did leak from a military lab. That's what started. Hey, just irony of irony, right? A military bioweapons lab where it leaks and inadvertently is exacerbated by everybody around it, and that's where you lead to kind of the zombie apocalypse. So just saying, Wuhan, you got to get to the bottom of that, too. Wuhan, you got to get to the bottom of 3 November. And now we got to get to the bottom of January 6th. We need to get to the bottom of what happened there. Okay, we only got a minute left. I would love you two guys to hold over. And one of the reasons you did such a great job today, Clements, one of the things you do is you kind of take everything as the evidence and kind of frame it in a way that people that are not lawyers, are not technicians, or not data people can kind of understand what the importance of this is. This is important. Maybe this is not so important. You're very good about the separation of the signal and the noise. And so we've got a lot going on. Captain Seth Keschel is going to be on main stage. We're going to replay, by the way, the Dr. Shiva piece later. Our audience is familiar with some of this. That's why we want to get our two guests. We're going to play the Dr. Shiva piece later. We've got Seth Keschel. When Seth Keschel comes up, he's going to give his analysis. We definitely want to hear Seth Keschel. But we're asking our two guests, David Clemens and Joe Altman. And one thing I can tell you, one breaking news, Colorado is in play. And I tell you, the folks out there for years have been saying Colorado's red. I think your moment's about to come. And I got to tell you, with the progressive nature, particularly some of the wealth that's poured into Colorado, out-of-state wealth, that is going to be a battle of the ages out there, right? That's going to be, I think, actually more gnarly, or gnarlier is, I guess, the right term, than Arizona. It's going to be a tough fight out there in Colorado, but right now you got some people here. They got a delegation. People very fired up, want to get to the bottom of what happened in Colorado. Explosive information, explosive evidence, as David Clemens would say it. Okay, short commercial break. We're going to return to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, the Alliance, the Military Alliance Center, with the cyber support, the cyber.